Let's bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for giving us another day and another breath, in which with this we want to praise your name. We want to thank you for giving us life through our mothers and them change our love. In all of these things, we want to thank you and praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm going to start off again just in case there was somebody I missed. I don't think I did, but I want to say it again. Happy Mother's Day. See, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my life. And then we're going to springboard off of that as we get into the brighter, happier day, the warm, sunny day. Because I thought I heard it was going to rain, but thank God it didn't. I think they said something about cloudy. I was raised in an old school family dynamic in which my father was the breadwinner and my mother was a stay-home mother. You know, something that you couldn't do, can't really do these days. I heard rumors on the wind that before I was born, my mother used to work. But after I was born, there was discussion of the prodigal child, how you should stay there to watch him. So the decision was made that my mother stayed there from when I was born in order to watch over me and raise me. This was a woman who made sure that I was clean and ready for school every day, whether I wanted to or not. She made sure that I was at the school on time and that she was there afterwards in which to pick me up. She made sure that she prepared lunch for me when I got old enough to be able to leave from the school and come home to eat, and that there was always dinner there when it became dinner time for me, my brother, and my father. And then sometimes we got a special treat. We got Chinese food. Now, you know that when you got that, either she was tired or it was just a special day. But yeah, there were White Castles, McDonald's around. Matter of fact, there were more White Castles then than there are now. But at that time, a home-cooked meal was more the norm. It was more common. For all of my years being alive, from birth, that is, to her passing, she was sick. She had type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and a few other things that I knew she was taking medicine for. But she kept it moving. She took care of me no matter how she felt. I remember there were times when she would tell me to go into the bedroom to go get her medicine, you know, which entailed basically bringing a few bottles to her and then going into the refrigerator to get her insulin. Now, as I got older, there were times when she would basically tell me, go pull up the insulin up in the needle, and depending on how she felt, I would give her an injection. She was a trooper, and she was a fighter each and every day of her life. I mean, trust me, because I wasn't a joke. I knew what I was. I was a handful. I look at my kids doing their thing, and even though I may not see me physically looking like too many of them, I see my behavior and my attitude before and after punishment still coming through. And I try daily to rectify that, but like I said, I'm dealing with me here. I know that there were times when I went above and beyond the duty in misbehaving. And when I came home from school, and my mother announced to me, because, you know, I had an announcement that, you know, a little, I knew what I did in school that day, but she gave me a little heads up and let me know, oh, I got a call from the school. That's when I would make sure that my shoes are laced up well, and you would have sworn I was an Olympian, because I went running through that house. And for a while, she chased me. And then she finally would give up, because I know she would give up. Because we had the house where the kitchen, the dining room, the living room, the hallway were like that. So I can do that for a while. Then that's when I realized that I made a mistake. Not so much the mistake what I did in school, even though it was a problem there. But the mistake that I went running. Because I would have to look forward to the punisher coming home that night. See, my father was the real disciplinarian. You could do whatever you wanted in the house within reason. And my mother would take care of it. We come from an old Southern family. So taking care of it was a physical taking care of. Some of y'all can relate to that. But there were rules that were written in stone that you didn't do no matter what. You didn't mess up in school, because education was very important to my mother and my father, but more so to my father, who only had a high school education, but then had to drop out because of the war and World War II. No, I'm sorry. World War I. My mistake. And he had to take care of all of his brothers and sisters and the family on the farm. So, you didn't mess up in school, and you didn't disrespect adults, especially my mother. Because if you did any of those things, you went for a boatload of trouble. The punisher would be visiting you that night, and that wouldn't be any form of a joke. See, I didn't learn each and every time that I did what I did. So at night, I would go to bed and go to sleep thinking that, you know, I won. But what I didn't realize is that when you're in a bed, in a closed room, you are sitting duck. And no matter how many times I did what I did, I would find myself in that same situation. I want to thank God for not giving me some weak-willed parents. They chastised me. Well, they didn't chastise me for everything. In the sense that it was a physical punishment. I got some of those, that new wave punishment. You know, not timeouts, but things like having your perks and your privileges taken away. You know, I had my toys taken away. I had TV time taken away. Going outside to play was taken away. Kind of like a punishment that fit the crime. And then in there were those times when the punisher had to be called in. In my case, like I said, it was related to getting a call from the school, usually. That was the basis of everything. Because we knew better than to curse or get smart to our parents. Because you don't do that to a Southern parent. I'll leave it at that. My father was a man of few words. And when he got called into the picture, into the mix, you weren't getting any of those words. It was like he was saving them for another day. You would see, it would be like if you see a door open and a figure there with glowing eyes. And the person was totally dark. You couldn't see them. See, I'm sure some of y'all do know this. Except for you. You're kind of young. Yeah, anyway. See, Albert Einstein was credited with defining insanity as doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That's me. My children from what I see daily. My learning curve as a child appears to have been filled with big gaps of amnesia because I kept forgetting the part of about schoolwork and being disrespectful. Because it always ended with a visit from the punisher. Nonetheless, that was my dad, and I loved that man of mystery. And I knew that he loved me. I remember one day, my mother was taken to the hospital. I found out later that she had a heart attack. I was around 12 and didn't know what a heart attack was. But I didn't know that she was in the hospital for a while. And that my father, when I asked to go to see her, he wouldn't let me go. He was like, no, stay there with your cousin, or I'm going to drop you off at your aunt or uncle. And I didn't know why he didn't want me to go. But I just kept it moving because I was a little child. I didn't know. It was like my children. You put on the TV, you're distracted, you're good. You know, you're not thinking about long runs or anything like that. But now that I reflect back on it, having been through a more recent and similar situation with my late wife, Debbie, I realize that as a parent, you don't want your child, especially if they're little, if they're young, to see their mothers in any condition in which she can't return their love back to them. Especially if they're young. You don't want them to see your other half in a weakened or defenseless state or condition. I remember coming home from school one day. I was in seventh grade. I had been 12 for a little while. And I saw my father waiting for me in the kitchen. I was surprised to say the least because at that point now, I expected my mother to be back home waiting for me, asking me, are you hungry? You know, do you want a snack? Because, you know, she'd been gone for a while. It was like 2 weeks or so. He paused for a moment. And when I asked him, what's happening? He told me that my mother had had a stroke and that she had passed away from complications of the stroke. I didn't understand it. Like I said, I'm 12. I'm not fully understanding it. And then all of a sudden it hit me. And I was overcome with shock. I started crying. All of those things, the punishments, the whatever, I didn't care about. Because I missed her. And I wanted her back. See, I'm sure that that's what my kids feel like. Because Debbie was sick all of their lives. But it wasn't bad until the last year. See, although I miss her, and I still do, I'm sure that my children miss her even more than I can ever imagine. Because I know what I went through when my mother passed away. Because a child's bond with their mother or the mother figure is usually the deepest thing that anybody could ever have. See, some of y'all are biological mothers. Some of y'all still have your mothers with you, and some don't. Some of you have aunts, grandmothers, or other female members of the family who stepped up when your biological mother couldn't or wouldn't for whatever reason. The one thing that we all have in common are memories, and hopefully some of them are good. Whether your mother was there or not, in the long run, you have to look past any issues that you might have had with her and look to the future. You have to look for what's happening now. See, yesterday is the past. But tomorrow is right in our path. It's the future. The life that we're living is a gift from God. We must always, always be thankful for who and what we have, and especially the memories of the good times that we had. No matter how few, how small, and how far between they were. The Old Testament scripture tell us that respect for our parents is the most important thing that we can have. Exodus 20:12 tells us, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Leviticus 19:3 tells us, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. See, whatever your age, whatever your place in life, your mothers always deserve to have your respect. God gives us mothers as a gift, and he commands us that we respect them, that we always look up to them. Children are encouraged to honor their parents from the moment that they're born. All of us, whether we're children or we're raising them, we have to always remember to honor them. Proverbs 6:20-25 tell us, my child, obey your father's godly instruction and follow your mother's life-giving teaching. Fill your heart with their advice and let your life be shaped by what they've taught you. Their wisdom will guide you wherever you go and keep you from bringing harm to yourself. Their instruction will whisper to you at every sunrise and direct you through a brand new day. Give respect to your father and mother, for without them, you wouldn't be here. And don't neglect them when they grow old. Embrace the truth and hold it close. Don't let go of wisdom, instruction, and life-giving understanding. When a father observes his child living in godliness, he is ecstatic with joy. Nothing makes him prouder. So may your father's heart burst with joy and your mother's soul be filled with gladness because of you. Amen? See, a parent's teaching is not something that we should blow off. Whatever we're going through now, it's not brand new. No matter how we feel that we're the most important thing around. I know that no matter how creative I am, somebody's done it already, whatever needs to be done. Although our parents come from a different time and possibly a different place, the things that we went through, are going through, are 9 out of 10 something they went through. Our parents and the things that they taught us or offered to teach us should be valued, remembered, and taught to our own children. Otherwise, they'll be forgotten. They're known as traditions. How many of you never took the time to learn something that your parents tried to teach you because you were too busy? You might have thought that it was too old-fashioned or just a long, drawn-out way of doing something that could be done quicker. Now you don't know how to do it, or you have to pay somebody to do it, or you have to go on YouTube to figure out how to do it. If we look in the New Testament scriptures, which are hundreds of years older than the Old Testament, it says the exact same thing about honor and respect. St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Ephesians 6:1-3, children, if you want to be wise, listen to your parents and do what they tell you, and the Lord will help you. For the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise attached. You will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. Jesus tells us in Mark 10:19 that you need to honor your father and your mother. See, the love of a mother for their child can only be surpassed by one person. The love of God for us on the whole. We must be willing to stop what we're doing. Turn to our parent or parents and say, thank you. I love you. And I appreciate all that you have done for me. See, I'm not going to come in here and lie to you because I don't want you to think of me as a liar. I want my platform to be level with y'all. There's no such thing as a perfect mother. Just like there aren't any perfect people in this congregation or the world today. But if there's anyone that we should be willing to overlook some of the petty and minor faults, it should be our mothers. Why? Because they've overlooked so many of our problems and our faults. They were there. As many of you who are mothers out there or were in that role, you know that there are times when you have to be willing to give up some things in order to be a good mother, to be a good parent. Sacrifice. That's a major part of being a mother. It begins by sacrificing your bodies in order to carry a baby for 9 months. Our mothers fed us before we even came into the world. They nourished us, and on top of that, they protected us before we even saw the light of day. But a mother's sacrifice doesn't end there. She's like the Energizer Bunny because she keeps going and going and going. They give us sleep, they give up sleep in order to give those midnight feedings, those 2 o'clock in the morning feedings. And sometimes they give up their own goals, their personal goals, in order to help the children get theirs. My beloved brothers and sisters, that's the kind of love that shouldn't go unnoticed, and it definitely shouldn't be unappreciated. Amen? So again, I want to say to each and every one of y'all, Happy Mother's Day, and God bless each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.